You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where else do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. He said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for what we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. I've been using multiple forms of technology to be able to connect with all of you digitally this morning. And so thank you for your patience as there was that second delay, 10-second delay. My name is Ellie, and I am a storyteller. Today's sermon was going to be about the power of story and storytelling. And in particular to the sacred text that we were that was just read to us, is really talking about how this is the first time that Jesus reveals who he is. It is also the same time that he reveals himself to an unnamed woman. Throughout this week, I chose this particular scripture because it follows along with liturgy. I was inside a women's state prison in Arizona this week, the same sermon, and it was a powerful sermon. And I was really excited to be able to have my first sermon with the Fountains be with with you all to be the sermon. But alas, I feel in the last 48 hours, it's been important for me to address this moment, the moment that and I believe the moment in which the Gospel of John is asking us to think about, which is connecting to one another. The book of John is the longest. This is the thing I've learned in my seminary experience is focusing more on the theology as opposed to the type of storytelling that some of us may be used to. And sure enough, here I am, my first time preaching at the Fountains, and I get to come to you in this manner at this very difficult time in history. So I think I have a feeling that David most definitely said, "Hey, Ellie, there's the fire, go play." But I am grateful to him for his leadership and his patience, and to all of you for allowing me to self-contain myself because of the exposures that I have with the communities that I work with. So here we are. Here we are in this COVID-19 moment is what I'm calling it. And I believe that it's a moment that, just as the Gospel of John asks us to do, is to really reaffirm many things about ourselves, and in particular to reaffirm our self-care. This week, we've been hearing public officials recommend that we put distance between ourselves and others as a way to not spread the virus. And to me, all of this distancing is very unlike me and very un-Christian-like. But I do believe, in fact, that we do need to listen to medical experts. And along with the doctors, we have to understand that the first rule of Christianity is to do no harm. And that means not doing anything to spread the virus to others. And because I work with women who are currently incarcerated, because I work with folks who are living without homes, and I work with all of us who are all aging, that I thought it was important that I come and present this message to you this way, and important enough to rewrite it, to think about what it means to preach my first sermon in the middle of the COVID-19 moment. So going back to those reaffirmations, reaffirming what it means to be a Christian in this moment, I think it's very important for us to focus on the physical, the emotional, and of course, the spiritual. And for the physical, you know, we must do all of the things that we've heard over and over again. We need to wash. We need to touch our faces. All of these things that are impossible to do when we're told not to do them or to do them, right? We also, I think it's very important to think about the physical when it comes to self-care. How do we take care of ourselves in our homes or wherever it is we choose to close ourselves in at? How are we exercising? Are we eating the right foods? Are we stretching? Are we breathing? Are we walking? What is it that we're doing to take care of our physical self? And then really in that process is finding out, how do we understand our bodies and the way that our bodies express stress, as well as coming to deal with stress? And then I think it's really, really important, and I'll say this a couple times, is to map out who we come in contact with. It's important so that way, if we do know somebody who is sick, that we're able to help trace back what the connections are that we've made to people, which is also why it's important to, I believe, do some of the self-containment. I start with the physical because it's the easiest, right? It's the thing that it's in front of us. We see us in the mirror every day. If I was there, you and I would be looking at each other, sitting up, changing our posture and all of that. But what we do see, I think, is the emotional tie that a moment like this puts us through. How do we acknowledge our fears, our confusion, our desires, and overall our emotions? And how do we ask ourselves emotionally, how are we dealing with stress? How are we ingesting the information that is out there? I encourage us to limit that limit watching it over and over again. And I know what I'm doing, the church that I'm seeking my ordination through is the Beatitudes Church. And something that we're introducing is journeying through COVID-19. It's an opportunity for us to participate in creative ways about journaling, about creating art, finding the creativity in ourselves to be able to document our lives during this moment. And I think it's really important for us to watch puppy videos. I am a dog owner, and some of my best experiences in those moments of doubt are praying or studying the word, of course, but it really is watching puppy videos or cat videos if you're a cat person. I think it's also important to sing out loud. I've been wondering what it sounds like in a room just by myself where I have the opportunity to sing out loud. And of course, I was inspired by all of the videos coming from the Italians who are quarantined in their homes, who have gone out to the patios and are starting little symphonies and those kind of things. And all of those things emotionally, we at the Fountains have this wonderful music program. We have wonderful artists and all of those things as I come to get to know the community. So these things aren't new, but I wonder how much that we are actually going back and practicing them, especially in a moment when we're really stressed out like this. I think it's also really important for us to reframe our social distancing term and really start practicing new language, which is physical distancing and social solidarity movement. I have done justice work for quite a bit of time, and I believe that we are all connected in to all living beings. And so I'm not ready to really get rid of that social distancing, because I believe that that can be contagious as COVID-19. But I do believe in physical distancing, and I believe in the social solidarity movement. That's what this is. We are all in this together. Because if anything, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, the coronavirus has shown that we are actually all connected. It's important for us to know that the coronavirus, or COVID-19, has demonstrated that it's impossible for us to separate ourselves from the greater world, and that our own personal health and safety actually depends on the health and safety of the poorest and the most vulnerable members of our society. And if anything positive comes from this terrifying pandemic, it should be the remaking of the social fabric of our society, such that we collectively take responsibility for the health and well-being of every single member of our society. This means ensuring healthcare, paid sick leave, increased food assistance, investing in stimulus and job creation packages to help the middle to low income people rather than just bailing out the airlines and other major industries. So we are all in this together. COVID has showed that there's no breaking away from this. I also think it's important to laugh. I wish I had more funny things to say. I actually think I'm quite witty, so I don't really have anything funny to say. I think the most important thing for me to say during this time to you, to myself, and to others is I love you, and that's never a funny moment. So we've talked about the physical, we've talked about the emotional, our reaffirmations to self-care being those two things, but of course we have to talk about the spiritual. We have to talk about the book of John being one of those gospels, one of those books that really focuses on the sense of oneness during these turbulent times. We are together. And I think what Jesus in the Gospel of John really does is teaches us a crucial lesson that community can only be built when we're not afraid of overcoming the prejudices that COVID-19 can bring, or the willingness to break the social conventions that tend to dehumanize us. And there's a living water in the verse that we're talking about. The living water appears pretty consistently. And I think that all of that is a way to combine us to make us one. I also did some research this week, and it's this wonderful couple articles that talk about the rabbis. What is the Jewish response to the COVID moment? And how is it that we as Christians or as faith believers need to connect with one another? And a lot of it talked about the loneliness that creates a solitude. And whether it be from the Jewish perspective, the Christian perspective, the Muslim perspective, the LDS, the Catholic, whatever it is, we really did, my reading and my research really did talk about how do we deal with loneliness during these times. But I think loneliness during this time can be a wonderful opportunity because it creates a solitude with God. We can finally turn to God without the distractions of work, of friendships, of meetings, of travel plans, all of those things. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to rediscover who we are and our relationship with God. There's nothing better than that spiritual moment. And I think that if we begin to ask ourselves those questions of how, asking God the questions, asking ourselves the questions of how we are learning spirituality in this moment is a really, really important thing to sit in. Loneliness and sadness and grief give us the opportunity to ask different questions and seek out different answers. And what is Christianity if it's not a faith to live complex lives that are filled with a bunch of uneasy questions? I think that the most profound, and it's really hard to give a sermon to a computer screen looking at myself. I don't like looking at myself. I wish I was there with you all. But I think that the most profound claim that all of our religions have is that to make sense of this whole existence, including and perhaps especially the circumstances of COVID-19, is how do we connect to one another and ourselves and to our God through the suffering and tribulation of our society? What better way to practice our faith than to be in this moment, whether we believe in a theistic God or on the other side of that, if we believe that this is just the life cycle of life. And in a way, I believe that the spiritual sense, it is, as I go back to what I started the sermon with, is the sense of no blame. Do no harm. Do not blame a group of people or anyone in particular for anything. And it's easy to do that. And that's been my biggest fear, this blame thing. Working with the women inside the prison this week, on Thursday I went in and at some point I was like, I probably shouldn't be going in. I just moved. I had movers come into the house. I had cleaners come to the house. I went and bought the things that I left at the old place to the new place. I exposed myself to all of these things. And here I was walking willfully into a prison to where they don't get adequate health care. So there is a fear in what it is that I can do. And so I believe that the other thing that we need to reaffirm with that is this other care, this sense of other care. How do we expand our view beyond ourselves? Even if we feel fine, to know that I can't hug my mentor, my dearest friend, is heartbreaking. It's a moment of when I can't even begin to comprehend what we are in at this moment. And I've been thinking a lot too about how do I come into church today? David and I had a long conversation last night about why I just felt that it was best for me to take a step back and to use this method, because what can be lost by our immediate actions and decisions is too grand at this moment. So I encourage you to more than anything in this Christian moment, to do no harm and to think about our civic responsibilities. I'm going to read a quote from one of the articles that I read this week to finish out, because I don't like talking to myself. I hope that you invite me back for a more meaningful, not that this isn't meaningful, sermon, but something that is a little lighthearted, something where I can use my act of storytelling in which to help explore what spirituality means. So this final quote in this Christian moment of doing no harm is, Christians have a responsibility beyond practicing personal hygiene. We also have the public responsibility to support public programs to protect the vulnerable and care for the sick. In the short term, that means supporting healthcare workers who put themselves at risk for those who have fallen ill. It means to follow the instructions of public health officials, no matter how good we feel, no matter how much we think that this might just be an act that is passing. I think it's also important to support the programs that help those without insurance, those without sick leave, those without daycare, and without paychecks, because their employers have laid them off during the health crisis. I asked Pastor to keep the Bible verse the same this week without changing it, because I think it's important for us to start asking the questions, taking the time to hear somebody's story, even in these difficult times, if it means emailing, picking up a phone call, sending peace and love signs, whatever it is. Use your ability to connect to your spiritual self to reach others, just as Jesus and the Samaritan woman did. Thank you.
Well, as a public speaker, I want to just acknowledge my gratitude to Ellie for doing this, because that ain't easy to preach to a blank screen, basically, because we don't have the camera coming back the other way for her. So I look forward to you getting to know Ellie in person once we're through this time period. And I want you to know how grateful we are to have her here, lending her voice to our moving forward.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.